This is a podcast from WILL AM 580. To support our station, please visit www.willpledge.org. That's www.willpledge.org.
This is the AM 580 News Daily Podcast for Monday, March 17th. I'm Jeff Bonsard. Coming up, AM 580's Terrell Starr will talk about competition within the growing organic food industry. And we'll have a look at your AM 580 weather forecast for Champaign-Urbana, but first, today's news. Parkland College in Champaign will be the site tomorrow night for an Illinois House hearing on the state budget. It's one of 19 hearings being held around the state this month as lawmakers gather input on the budget they're putting together for the fiscal year that begins July 1st. State Representative Naomi Jacobson says testimony is welcome from anybody with concerns about any part of state government. But the Urbana Democrat says one of her major concerns is funding for the University of Illinois and other state universities. Governor Rod Blagojevich is proposing that funding remain at current levels for higher education, but Jacobson says she'd love to see that funding increased.
And higher education is so important. If we're not funding them right, they can't do their jobs right. And that's where people get prepared for being real contributors to society.
Jacobson is hosting tomorrow night's hearing, and other area lawmakers are also expected to attend. Jacobson says she expects to hear from officials with agencies dependent on state funding. But she says everyone is welcome to testify and can call her office for more information. The budget hearing starts at 6 p.m. at Parkland College in the conference center room of the D Wing. The Illinois legislature is off until April 1st, with work barely begun on a new state budget. Last year, the budget process dragged on for months beyond the usual end of the General Assembly, thanks to bitter fighting among top lawmakers and Governor Rod Blagojevich. And House Republican leader Tom Cross of Oswego says there's no evidence that anything has been patched up in this latest session.
The swords aren't out where they're throwing them, or, you know, stabbing each other, but there hadn't been any love shown. It's more like the swords are just down, and I think people are waiting to see whether they're going to bring them back out. And I hope that it calms down a little bit, because it needs to.
Cross's Republicans remain at a distinct disadvantage in both the Illinois House and Senate, but he still has hopes for his caucus's legislative proposals, including the reinstatement of some business tax credits that Democrats had eliminated a few years ago. Taking public transportation will be free for many Illinois seniors beginning today. But not everyone over 65 can take advantage of the benefit, as Amanda Vinicky explains.
Governor Rod Blagojevich came out with the idea to give senior citizens free train and bus rides in exchange for going along with a plan that raises the sales tax in Cook and the Collar counties. Blagojevich says it's a benefit that people who've worked hard all their lives deserve. But it's a benefit that not all Illinois seniors will get. That's because the law only applies to those who live in the boundaries of a mass transit district. Dick Austin's with Springfield's Mass Transit District. He says the state sent over a list of seniors who tried to register for the program.
And the first list that we received is some 300 names. About, maybe 20% didn't reside in the district at all. They were in Chatham, Carlinville, Verdon, Riverton, New Berlin, and they do not qualify for free transportation.
Austin adds that other transit districts may have different eligibility standards. It's different everywhere. He says the Blagojevich administration provided no direction or clarification. I'm Amanda Vinicky.
Tibetan Americans in Chicago are calling for an end to a Chinese crackdown in Tibet that's left dozens of people dead in that country. A group protested this weekend outside the Chinese consulate in Chicago to show solidarity with those demonstrating in Tibet against Chinese rule. Some chanted, "Stop the killing, stop the torture." Others waved Tibetan flags. Tibet was independent before Chinese communist troops occupied it in 1950. The latest unrest began March 10th on the anniversary of a 1959 uprising against the Chinese. About 80 protesters in Chicago also held a vigil at the Chinese consulate on Friday. Three people were arrested after they blocked cars of Chinese officials. Tibetan associations say there are about 300 Tibetans living in Chicago. There's a total of about 10,000 Tibetans in the U.S. A corporate tax amnesty program in Illinois ends today, but the money collected so far is falling well short of what officials had counted on. Sam Hudzik has more.
The amnesty offer lets Illinois businesses pay overdue franchise and license taxes without penalty. The six-week program was expected to bring in $25 million, but as of last Friday, only $7 million had been collected. The state's Department of Revenue says the original estimate came from the General Assembly. A spokesman for House Speaker Michael Madigan says staff probably based it on past performance, and the poor economy could mean some businesses just don't have the money. Secretary of State Jesse White administers the program. White says he's happy with the results and expects the final day, today, to bring in more money. Tax dodgers who don't participate face extra fines. I'm Sam Hudzik.
Sony Corporation is planning to invest nearly $110 million in new equipment and other improvements to upgrade its Terre Haute plant following the triumph of the company's Blu-ray high-definition format. Blu-ray recently beat out other technologies that had vied to become the high-definition replacement for the DVD. Company officials plan to add at least 65 jobs to the Terre Haute plant as part of the upgrade. Sony wants to invest more than $100 million in new equipment and more than $7 million in property investments or improvements. Indianapolis Mayor Greg Ballard poured dye into the newly cleaned downtown canal this morning, turning it green for St. Patrick's Day. The canal was refilled with water last week after being drained for several months as workers cleaned muck and debris from the waterway that runs through the west side of the city's downtown, including the past the Indiana State Museum and NCAA headquarters. There will also be a St. Patrick's Day parade through downtown Indianapolis today. St. Patrick's Day parades were held Saturday in South Bend and Terre Haute. A former railroad executive and grandson of a famed Chicago philanthropist has died. Relatives say John Shedd Reed died yesterday of natural causes at his Lake Forest home. He was 90. Reed was the grandson of the founder of Chicago's Shedd Aquarium, John G. Shedd. He had a childhood passion for trains and grew up to be president of the Santa Fe Railroad. A 12-year-old Reed attended the opening of the Shedd Aquarium in 1929. As president of the aquarium's board of trustees from 1984 to 94, Reed excelled as a fundraiser. He played a key role in raising money for the Shedd's marine mammal building. The oceanarium opened in 1991 and was credited with turning around the aquarium's fortunes. For the latest newscast online, go to wiol.illinois.edu/news. This is the AM 580 News Daily Podcast. I'm Jeff Bosser. Eating organic food is not only considered healthy, some companies believe selling it can be very profitable. Once limited to small shops and farmers' markets, organic food is now sold by some of America's largest companies. Organic milk, meat, fruits, and vegetables are earning some retailers millions of dollars, others a lot less. AM 580's Terrell Starr talked with retailers of all sizes to discuss the competitiveness of this growing industry.
Organic food retail registered over $16 billion in sales in 2006, and companies of all sizes want in on this growing and profitable industry. One is the world's largest retailer. Mia Masson is Walmart's Midwest Director of Corporate Affairs. She says Walmart has offered organic food for many years, but saw an opportunity to pursue it more aggressively.
In the spring of 2006, we began expanding our assortment of organic foods in certain stores because we felt there was a demand for a wider range among the customers of those stores.
Traditionally, organic food has been sold by smaller organic food stores, like this one.
Okay, so it's 3176. Oh, yeah, I rounded up.
The Common Ground Food Co-op in Champaign.
Oh,
it's located in the basement of a local church. They've been selling organic produce to the community for more than 35 years. Jacqueline Hanna is the general manager. She says she understands why some smaller stores are concerned about large retailers selling organic produce, but she feels this works in her store's favor.
We found universally that it's actually, if anything, enhancing our sales and sending people toward us rather than taking them away from us. That's not been our experience at all. People who are really interested in organic food and treating themselves well and eating food that's good for their communities and good for their bodies are simply not satisfied by shopping for a little bit of organic produce next to Kraft macaroni and cheese.
Jack Wallace is not concerned either. He is the general manager of Strawberry Fields in Champaign. While Strawberry Fields is much larger than Common Ground, it's no match for a retailer like Walmart. But Wallace says his store attracts a very specific customer.
The demographics between the stores are different. You know, we have a very dedicated and loyal following of natural foods customers who may shop at the large box stores for other reasons, but they are very loyal about buying their natural foods and organic foods here.
While Hannah and Wallace aren't concerned about large retailers like Walmart selling organic produce, Mark Castell of the Cornucopia Institute is. Castell says his organization monitors retailers to ensure they are following federal organic food standards. He insists that his organization has no problem with large retailers like Walmart selling organic food at low prices.
The question is, are they selling substandard merchandise? And we know in a few cases, without a doubt, they are. And so if you're paying an organic premium, but you're not getting truly an organic product, you're getting ripped off.
Walmart denies allegations that it was in violation of federal organic food standards. Mastin says Walmart only purchases produce from farms that meet federal organic guidelines.
We believe strongly that the USDA standards for organic product must not be compromised. So if something is labeled as organic, then it's meeting those USDA requirements.
Despite concerns that the Walmarts of the world may hurt traditional stores, Common Ground Food Co-op's Jacqueline Hanna is optimistic.
By far, I would rather everyone is able to afford organic milk, and if they're, while shopping for their conventional food, can get a gallon of organic milk for maybe 50 cents cheaper at Walmart, and that's what they need to do, I'm glad it's available to them.
The Organic Trade Association says it sees no signs that large retailers are hurting smaller ones. Whether this will change in the future is unclear. What is clear is retailers of all sizes are carving out their share of this multi-billion dollar industry. Walmart is continuing to expand their organic food offerings at select stores. Common Ground is also expanding. The small co-op is moving from their basement location to a larger one in downtown Urbana. They're even adding a small deli. Strawberry Fields is not moving, but General Manager Jack Wallace says his store plans to offer its customers a wider variety of products. The Organic Trade Association also projects organic food sales rising 18% each year through 2010. Walmart, Strawberry Fields, and Common Ground say they can share these projected sales. I'm Terrell Starr, AM 580 News.
In the forecast for the region, a flood watch is in effect from late tonight through Wednesday morning. Today there's a slight chance of showers and thunderstorms in the morning, then showers and thunderstorms likely this afternoon, the high around 48. Periods of showers and thunderstorms this evening, locally heavy rainfall possibly after midnight. Near city temperatures around 45. Periods of showers and thunderstorms on Tuesday, locally heavy rainfall possible, the high around 55. Periods of showers and a chance of thunderstorms Tuesday evening, then showers likely and a chance of thunderstorms after midnight, locally heavy rainfall possible, the low around 38 degrees. Cooler on Wednesday, cloudy skies, the high around 45. Mostly cloudy Wednesday evening, the low around 32. Mostly sunny Thursday, the high around 48 degrees. This has been the AM 580 News Daily Podcast. For Monday, March 17th, you can find podcasts of Focus 580, the afternoon magazine, agricultural programming, as well as other helpful information at our website, wiol.illinois.edu. I'm Jeff Bossert, AM 580 News.